Hi, this is Patty Scalzo, welcoming you to the Bible study program, Shiar Jashub, brought to you by the Church of Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut. Today, we will begin the next sermon in my husband, Pastor Greg Scalzo's series on the Book of Romans.
This is the Romans series. The last time we left off, we were in Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. We read the first part, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, right? And we said, your position in Christ, beloved of God. You are very dear to God, beloved of God, called saints or called to be saints. That's your identification in Christ. Hagios. Remember we talked about that word, hagios? Saints, sacred, separated to God, sanctified, holy, consecrated. It comes from a word meaning religious awe, an awful thing, a most holy thing. You are called to be a most holy thing. A saint of Christ, beloved of God, called to be saints. And it's to all who are in Rome, right? He says to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, all who are in this church at Rome. And we studied the church at Rome consisted of Jews, Jewish believers in Jesus Christ, Gentile believers in Jesus Christ, Greeks, Italians, barbarians, all different types are in this church at Rome. To all, you're all called, you're beloved of God, and you're called hagios, saints. Okay, that's where we left off. Now, the new section, there's a second part to that verse. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is Paul's usual greeting. It's the greeting he uses in pretty much in all his letters. 1 Corinthians 1:3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 1:2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians, the next book, Galatians 1:3. Paul says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians 1:2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we spent a lot of time on the introduction to this book of Romans, but the reason I do it is that so many times the introductions are just like read over. And the introductions are very important because a lot of your Christian teachings are in the introduction to these letters. Colossians 1:2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:1, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 1:2, to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy is added, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:2. To Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Titus 1:4. To Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. And lastly, Philemon 1:3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single epistle that Paul writes, every single epistle that Paul writes, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That tells me that it's very important. This is the way they greeted each other, the early church greeted each other, and it had meaning. And it was important for Paul to say it over and over and over again. Grace. Now that word grace will become important in our study of the book of Romans, so we might as well talk about it here. Charis, charis. And it's a primary word in the Greek, grace. It means grace, kindness, favor. Grace, kindness, favor. On the part of the bestower, and here the bestower is God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, it means the friendly disposition, friendly stance, from which a kindly act proceeds. So kindness comes out of this stance. Grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Graciousness, loving kindness, goodwill. That's all in that word, charis, that we translate grace. And especially when you speak about divine grace, there's a stress on the freeness and universality of it. It's free. It's spontaneous from God, right? It's God's redemptive mercy, the pleasure or joy he designs for the recipient apart from their worth, right? Apart from their merit. That's contrasted with debt, right? When you owe somebody something as a debt and you give it. Or work, when you work for something and you earn it, right? Or the law, when you keep it and so you benefit. Grace is different. Grace is, there's a freeness, and God gives it freely to Jew and Gentile. That's what's meant by universality. To all whosoever is thirsty, let him come and drink from the waters of life. There's a freeness to it. It's his mercy being shown, the pleasure or joy he's designed for his people, the kindness he desires to show, the favor shown without regard to worth or merit of the one who receives it. And in spite of what that person, that same person deserves, we don't deserve it. And so it's not a debt being paid. It's not work being paid for. It's not a reward for keeping the law. It's, if you remember from years ago, your old Sunday school, unmerited grace is unmerited favor, unmerited assistance. It's a gift coming from God. And it's almost always associated with God's mercy, God's love, God's compassion, God's forgiveness. We don't deserve it, but he desires to give us this kindness, this favor, this grace. And he is the source of our help. When you speak about grace, you're speaking about God being the source of help, God being the source of deliverance. How we depend, we survive, we're saved only by his divine assistance, only by his divine favor, only by his grace. The gift of God, the favor of God, the kindness of God, unmerited favor. In Exodus chapter 34, Exodus chapter 34 is after the incident with the golden calf. And you read that verse 1, and the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets, this is to replace the first ones that are destroyed, right? The words that were on the first tablets which you broke. So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. You down to verse 4. So he cut two tablets of stones like the first ones. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, and proclaim the name of the Lord, of Yahweh, He is that He is. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, Yahweh, the Lord, Yahweh God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. There's a good definition of grace. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. So you have here the grace of God, His forgiveness. He desires to forgive to thousands, not deserved. As a matter of fact, it's in spite of what we deserve, right? He desires to give forgiveness, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. And he'll go on in this section in chapter 34 to renew the covenant with Israel. This is after the golden calf incident. He goes on in verse 7, though, to say, by no means clearing the guilty, or he does not leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, the children's children, to the third and fourth generation. So this is not, grace does not mean to say God is just going to let you get away with anything. Now, back in the Old Testament time, the sins of the parents are visited upon the children. And there are heavenly things that go on today like that. However, under Christ Jesus, that's broken. No longer, and this is in Jeremiah, this is in, I believe, Ezekiel, no longer do the fathers drink vinegar and the children's teeth are on edge. No longer are the sins of the fathers visited upon the children. Under the new covenant, the curse of the generations is broken. But that's only in Christ Jesus. The spiritual law set up, God cannot allow sin to go rampant. And you see then corporately how things happen in nations and societies as what is set forth by the parents visits on the next generation and the next generation. So it's not that God does not care about sin and he laughs it off. There is a punishment. But his heart, what is the heart of God? To be merciful, to be gracious, to be long-suffering, to abound in goodness, to abound in truth, mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and the transgression and sin. That's what he desires to do if we receive his grace.
You can rehear this program and listen to hundreds of other Bible study radio programs on our church website at shiarjashub.org. We are also building quite a library of video teachings from our Sunday service live streams on YouTube. The Sunday sermon is live streamed at 10:30 a.m. and then posted on YouTube, Rumble.com, and on the church website itself for you to access at any time, day or night. And we appreciate any donation you make to Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle to keep this important scripture teaching ministry on WFIF, and we are offering a very special thank you gift for your donation of $50 or more. We will send you an autographed copy of Pastor Greg's award-winning book, The Nature and Power of Prayer. It is offer 102, and the website is shiarjashub.org.